Well, if you will, please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 119. And I would like to look at one verse here in Psalm 119, verse 88. Psalm 119, verse 88. It's been my desire over the last week to speak on the subject of revival. And it has been my desire to speak on this subject so that our hearts and minds might be in tune for the upcoming spiritual emphasis beginning this Sunday. And last Wednesday, we considered the definition of true revival. We considered the author of true revival and the characteristics of true revival. Sunday morning, we considered the hindrances of revival and our responsibility to fight against such hindrances and implement those features that can lead to a refreshing of our souls. Sunday night, we considered the great enemy of revival, Satan, who hates and opposes the workings of God and is doing everything possible to keep God's people from seeking the Lord and being unified as one. And tonight I would like to finish speaking on this subject by speaking briefly on the source of revival. The source of revival. What is the source of revival? The source of spiritual renewal, of restoration and reformation. Perhaps our immediate answer might be God. God is the source. He is the source of all blessings because the Apostle James tells us in James chapter 1 that every good and perfect gift comes from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And while this answer is true, I want to zoom in even further and answer this question. Why would God choose to send revival? Why would he even care to give spiritual refreshment to his children? Asked another way, what moves God to bring spiritual renewal to his children? What moves him to pour out his blessing? Well, the answer is found in our text, Psalm 119, verse 88. The psalmist says, quicken me. Revive me, make me alive after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. Why would God choose to send revival to any individual or church? What moves God to bring spiritual renewal to his children? One word, love. Because God loves his people. That is the source of revival. If we have ever experienced, or if we ever will experience, a spiritual refreshing in our life or in the life of our church, the source of it will be the undeserved, unceasing, an unlimited love of God. I want to speak to you real briefly tonight on this subject, and to convince you further of these truths, let me summarize by giving you three main points about the source of revival being God's love. The first point is this: God's love is the source of spiritual life to the devoted believer. I think one of the greatest examples we have in all of Scripture that highlights this truth is the testimony and the words of the Apostle Paul. If ever there was a man dedicated to the things of God, surely it was the Apostle Paul. From his conversion to his death, Paul was committed in following the ways of God, and he was steadfast in laboring in the work of God. And what was it that kept Paul going? What was the power that encouraged him to press onward in preaching the gospel, planting churches, and encouraging the saints? Well, if you will, please look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the answer is told to us here in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Paul writes, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Do you ever read the New Testament? Do you ever read the book of Acts and stop and ponder this question? What was it that fueled Paul's devotion to seek God and to make God known? What was it that pushed him to keep going when he was dragged out of a city, he was taken for dead, and then immediately goes back and preaches the gospel? Was he a mere fanatic by nature? Was that his personality? What was it? Well, we find it here in our text. He says, "The love of Christ presses me so much because I understand that Christ died for me, and so I will live for him." Christ offered the ultimate sacrifice, and it is only my reasonable service to then lay down my life for the one who loved me and gave himself for me. There is rarely an epistle written by Paul that does not mention the reality of God's love. Search the epistles, and you will find the incredible theme of the love of Christ. The great Mount Everest of love, of Christ's love, we find in Romans chapter 8. There's nothing that separates us from the love which is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 speak about the depth of man's sin, but the loving kindness of God in our sinful nature. Christ came to us and loved us. And search the epistles and you will find this theme over and over. And we would declare that it was the love of God that ignited him to continue to be devoted. So in a revival, we ask, why would God choose to pour out his blessing? Why would God cause spiritual renewal to his people? Because he desires to keep the devoted ones devoted. He wants those who are already drinking of his love to continue to drink of his love, because by drinking of his love, they then pour forth his love. The Apostle John, the beloved disciple, he had an intimate fellowship with Christ. He was in the inner three, Peter, James, and John. He was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And John witnessed the miracles of Christ. We find John the Beloved laying on the breast of Christ. He experienced what he did in receiving and recording the final book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what was it that encouraged John's heart? Love. And all the disciples, excluding Judas, and we would ask, how was it that they were so energized with turning the world upside down? How was it that they were willing to go through great persecutions? How is it that they were willing to endure false accusations, physical afflictions, and even martyrdom for the Savior? The answer is love. The love of God. And as they were steadfast, God sent seasons of refreshings within their souls, and he did so to keep them going and advancing for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And God did this because he ultimately loved them. And God does the same for his devoted ones today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am God, I change not. In our mountaintop experiences, God reveals Himself more so that we might love Him more. In our seasons of provisions, God provides more to encourage us in the ways of God. In our service for Him, we see fruit, and He pours out more fruit, already on our fruit, to encourage us. And such blessings refresh us. They revive us. And don't they revive us to continue to put our hands to the plow and keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ? And when you are already devoted to the things of God and you think, I can't be blessed anymore, Lord, stop the blessings. I think my heart might explode with joy. And yet He continues to shower you with His goodness. Isn't the response is, God has been so good to me, I'm going to respond to His goodness by loving Him and serving Him with all that I am. God's love is the source of spiritual life to the devoted believer. So, who needs revival? Devoted believers. All right. It should never be our desire, well, everything's great in my life. I've got a fervent walk with the Lord. I've been seeing victory over sin, and I'm not sure about these services. Everything's okay in my life. And you might be a devoted believer. You may be among the mature in the congregation, but come and be encouraged so that you might be encouraged even more, and so that you might seek to strive to walk with God in a closer way. So this is the purpose of revival. God's love is the source. We see, secondly, God's love is the source of spiritual life to the discouraged believer. In our seasons of dark discouragements and severe depression, God comes to us with proofs of His love to bring new life, new hope, and peace. Remember the men in Scripture who found themselves deeply discouraged. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29, and then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Elijah said in 1 Kings 19:4, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. 1 Samuel 36, we read, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Job, in Job 3, verse 1, lamented and cursed the day of his birth. Remember those words. He says, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. Peter, after Christ was crucified, went back, a discouraged servant of the Lord. He went back to his original trade, fishing. But in each scenario, God's servants were disappointed. They were lacking faith. They were miserable, without hope, and desiring to be done with the present circumstances that surrounded them. Yet, in every case, God came to them and revived them. God awakened them. He shed light into their soul. And why would God do that? Because God loved them. Jeremiah said, I'm done. But God caused His word to bring a renewed outlook in his life. Elijah wanted to die. And God revived him to appoint a new leader, Elisha. David was greatly distressed. And God encouraged his heart in him. Job cursed the day of his birth. and experience the greatest manifestation of God in his life, and God blessed Job twofold. God meant everything for their good. God did not send the trials in their lives to break them, but to build them. God sent them dark providences to purify them, not to destroy them. Spurgeon says it so wisely. He says, faith sees that in her worst sorrow, there is nothing penal. There is not a drop of God's wrath in it. It is all sent in love. This is so with us. And God may cause us to go through difficult valleys, but it is only for the purpose of bringing us unto the mountains of his love. A parent may see their child discouraged and in tears for a moment. But be sure, if that parent loves, they will immediately be at their child's aid. Take them into their arms and comfort them and express their love for them. And this is what God does. And this is what God does in revival. God comes alongside his discouraged saints and says, everything will be okay. And says, look at the cross again. Remember what I have brought you through. Remember who you were before Christ. And remember the great goodness that you have tasted in salvation. Why does God bring revival? He brings revival to encourage the discouraged ones. God encourages discouraged ones by reminding of his love. And then a third point of this source of revival, God's love. God's love is the source of spiritual life to the disobedient believer. What does God do in revival? Well, in revival, God brings back those who have strayed. The good shepherd seeks out the ones who have left his sheepfold. God breaks the stubborn hearts and comforts them with the promises of his forgiveness. And why would God do this, church? Because he loves. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Proverbs 3, verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son in whom he delighteth. Now again, search the scriptures with me and see man's rebellion, God's discipline, but then God's restoration, God's love within the discipline. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were given one commandment, not to eat of the fruit of the tree. And they rebelled against the goodness of God. They broke one simple command. God cast them out of the garden. He proclaimed judgment upon them. Yet, Genesis 3:15, God gives them a promise of the coming Messiah. In Genesis 3:21, God clothes them with coats of skin. They failed, yet God loved. Israel rebelled against God over and over. They complained about the provisions of God. They complained about their circumstances. God judged them many times. God disciplined them. Yet God, all the while, protected and provided and blessed them despite their rebellious ways. God could have said, I'm done with you. And there was, speaking of Moses and God, oh God, you can't wash them away. You can't destroy them now. What will the surrounding nations think? And God's anger was, But then we see God's constant love and His faithfulness to His own promises. So in that we see God's love, and that's revival. And the nation would fall into disobedience, and God would revive a king. He would revive a people so that they could then seek the Lord. And what is that a manifestation of? God's love. He awakened them to seek the Lord again because He loved them. He didn't, sometimes He did let them do as they pleased, but He then drew them back. David sinned against God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Nathan confronts David. Because of the evil of David's ways, we read that the sword does not depart from David's house. Yet, Psalm 51 is there for us to see that God in His love restores such a great sinner. Psalm 51 is not so much about the wonderfulness of one man's repentance, but it is more of the wonderfulness of God's restoring love. What a God! That the just man falls seven times, and he gets up, and he can only get up because God's love is there restoring him and bringing him back. Peter sinks. He walks on the water. Jesus rebukes Peter for his lack of faith. Yet in love, Christ reaches forth his hand and saves Peter. Peter denies Christ. He weeps bitterly. Christ seeks Peter out. As he's there on the shore, cooking fish, telling them how to catch fish. And he does so because he loves. He loves the wayward. All these are instances of revival, spiritual renewal, a blessing of the Holy Spirit. You remember the parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one. This is the heart of the good shepherd. Many times it has been us. Wayward, rebellious, cold, indifferent. God disciplines us. He reminds us of His willingness to forgive and brings new life into our souls. Did we deserve it? No. If God gave us what we deserved, we should have been done a long time ago. He would have had every right to put us up on the shelf and lay us aside from the service of the king a long time ago. But in His love, He renews. In His love, He revives. He revives the devoted ones. He revives the discouraged ones. And He revives those who are erring. He revives the disobedient ones. And He does this because God loves. So this simple devotion leads me then to this practical application. How do we pray for the preaching services to come? What would be a good prayer for Sunday, for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Well, let's pray that God would remind believers of His love. Through the preaching, as we hear the Word of God, perhaps the Holy Spirit would bring to our remembrance the sacrifice of the cross, the love by which we were drawn into His everlasting arms. And that love would revive us, encourage us to then love Him and lay down our life. What do we pray? Well, we pray that God would convince sinners of His love. How were we drawn to the Lord but by the message of His love? Oh, I'm unworthy. I'm an enemy of God. I am separated, and it's my fault. I've sinned against Him. But then the message of love. God loves sinners. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God brings us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the reasons we sin, one of the reasons we backslide, we become cold in our walk is because we forget God's amazing love. And one of the truths that lead us into a deeper relationship with God is the constant truth that He loves. Why would God choose to send revival to any individual or church? What moves God to bring spiritual renewal to His children? Love. So let's think about this as we approach any service. As we approach God any day throughout His Word. This book is a letter of His love. Have we forgotten the love that is in Christ Jesus? Maybe you are already zealous for the Lord. You're working and your heart is enjoying sweet fellowship with Christ. You still need the truths of God's love to keep you moving forward. Maybe you're discouraged. There are dark providences in your life are causing continual sorrow within your soul. Remember the steadfast love of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps there's been disobedience this week, disobedience over the past few weeks. And you would say, is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for restoration? Is there any hope for revival for me? I have sinned and sinned greatly against God. Remember that it's charity that covers a multitude of sins. The love that is in Christ Jesus that washes our sins away. Let me conclude by quoting this wonderful portion of Scripture on love. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. As you pillow your heads tonight, think on the unmerited love of God. And let that be a source of spiritual refreshment in your life. And pray that the love of Jesus Christ would be shed abroad in our hearts, as Paul prayed for one of the churches, that they would know the height and depth and the breadth of the love which is in Christ Jesus. There was a reason he prayed that, because he knew if they knew God's love according to the Scriptures, they would be revived. They would know the fullness of God. That's my encouragement for you tonight. The source of revival. What is it? Love. We've seen the definition. We've seen the author. We've seen the manifestations of revival, the hindrances of revival, the enemy of revival, and now the source of revival, God's steadfast love. I wonder if we could conclude tonight in taking a few extra quiet moments and praying, and to pray for ourselves, to pray individually for our own souls, to pray for our church, and then to pray for our community. Let's ask God to do a great work in our hearts, in our life. Let's ask Him to encourage those who are discouraged, to bring back the wayward ones. And let's ask Him to do exceeding above all we ask or think. So let's do that now. If you want to find someone, feel free to get up and find a brother or sister in Christ. Don't be shy. I know a lot of times we get used to doing things just quietly and to ourselves, but feel free to move around. There is a sweetness about praying one with another. Don't be shy about lifting up your voice to the Lord. Let's really seek the Lord. So can we do that tonight for a few minutes? And let's ask that God would direct Dr. Getch, and that God would bring visitors and returning guests, and God would just do a wonderful work, that He would reveal His love to us and to His people. So let's pray together tonight.